I'll switch to stone and wood. Found some stone and wood Pacific.
Would you like some beer news?
Why not? Beer news me.
A mate of mine who, actually one of the school dads, who is a dedicated home brewer, and I don't drink much beer anymore. I don't know, it's just, Australia seems obsessed with fucking pale ales. Everything's a version of a pale ale.
Except they're not, because, I mean, every beer is got pale ale in the name somewhere, whether it's, but there's a long distance between a hazy pale ale and an India pale ale and
the rest of it. But very hopsy, I guess, very fruity. Anyway, I was having a chat to him one day and I said, I had this espresso stout somewhere one day and just absolutely loved it. And he's like, oh, that sounds like an interesting beer to make. So we rocked up at a kid's birthday party, pool party, 10 o'clock in the morning. He's like, ready for a beer? And I was well, I actually haven't had breakfast, but.
That's right. Would you like a steak and chips and a glass? Because here you go, dickhead. Like,
well, you need a coffee and a beer all at the same time. He goes, it's about 6.5%, 7%.
That's actually pretty low for a big old stout.
And it's got a bit of caffeine in it and give you a bit of a kick along. So
I reckon caffeine probably wouldn't have survived the brewing process, I reckon.
No. But yes, it was delicious. And I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed that kid's birthday party very much.
I made a big old fucking chocolate mud cake with a stout base. Big strong stout base. Jesus, it was nice. It was so rich though. It was a recipe I got off the 8 Wide, which is one of the New Zealand breweries. Their Facebook, Instagram was sort of, and I didn't actually use their beer in the end, but I didn't have it to hand. But it was good Lord, it was rich. But
nice. So after tasting it, we actually figured out that the one that I'd had was had lactose in it as well.
Yeah. That actually, that's a good way to do it. So it's actually, so what you had was a rather than an espresso stout, it was a cafe latte fucking stout. It was a flat white.
So he's going to go back and have another go. So next kid's party.
But lactose works well to round, the idea of putting lactose in a stout, which is what they often call milk stout, is to round off that bitterness you get with that kind of really burnt, sort of chocolatey, aniseedy kind of licoricey elements you get with really dark malts. Listen to me talking also, like a fucking. I'd recovered from home brewing years ago, but clearly, you never quite escape it. It always drags you back in.
The original one also had a bit of like almost like crema, like when you get it that really good espresso and it's got that thickness
kind of
on the
very
top.
Very fine kind of. If you bottle, was this bottled or kegged or what?
The original one that I really liked that I just fell in love with was out of a keg.
Yeah.
And his was bottled. So.
Yeah. So if you bottle it using, let me get this right. So I think if you use dextrose, rather than just table sugar, you get a much finer head, like really, really like a creamy bubble. Rather than that kind of big kind of, your generic fucking first year engineering student spec homebrew that has, the ones that sort of explode if you don't treat them right. That sort of stuff tends to be, sugared with fucking those nasty pellets you get from Coopers from a supermarket. And, the bottle will either explode or it will froth over as soon as you uncap it or it won't fizz up at all. If you use dextrose, you get a much more controllable, much smoother fucking head. And smoother head is what we're all looking for.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Tripping Balls, a music podcast about homebrew.
Well, do I throw myself onto the mercy of the judges this week?
Tell me about the albums you picked, Bezo.
Neither of them were that good. They were interesting in a certain sort of way, but I don't know whether you could say either of them was good at all.
Tell me about the albums you picked, Bezo.
All right, let's start with Elderbrook.
Let's start with Elderbrook, Bezo.
which was supposed to be, and like I can see the through line that someone's made between these guys and Jungle, because they've got a little bit of that falsetto, a little bit of that vocal styling that Jungle has. But what they don't have is the fucking kick-ass.
Any beats at all?
Sorry to go all King Parrot on you, but literally, I mean, you can have all the fucking the jungly falsetto you like, but literally, you need to have bangers if you are Jungle.
Yeah,
you need
that's
to have
right.
some kind of upbeat, up-tempo thing that makes you want to shake your booty, and this stuff just made you want to take your booty and put it in a couch and drink yourself to sleep while sobbing and cuddling a pillow, thinking about some girl who fucked you off when you were 15.
Look, I think I would have loved this album when I was 17.
Jesus, maybe. You must have been fucked up in 17.
I don't know. It just, yeah, there was a big lacking part of this album, and that's what it was. It was that there was no beats, there was no bangers.
No.
There's literally not a banger on this. And look, without that, the falsetto sort of doesn't, like the falsetto in Jungle works as a contrast to that, to that music. It's not the key component that
you
want.
No, it's an extra melody line.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Elderbrook. Diddery Ice. Okay,
to give this album its credit. This was a joker thrown at the end. It was an EP.
Yeah.
It had no reason to be any good. It was still better than Elderbrook.
It was better than Elderbrook, and at least I could see its point of view. Like I could see what he's trying to do, and I actually sent it to a couple of people that I know that really like this sort of stuff and will probably really enjoy this.
Yeah.
But it's not for me. This is not my music.
It's a little bit it's underhopped. You know, if it was homebrew, it would be...
It's a little bit insipid.
It would be like, you know, your starter kit. Fucking, you know, your Cooper's starter kit with lager with no hop. No hops and no malt and no nothing really added to it. It's a little bit insipid.
Which is funny because, like, he's got a reputation as a live artist and it's like, okay,
yeah.
It's not coming through here, because that was one of the reasons I picked it as a joker. Is like he's got a Live at the Corner Hotel live album, like
yeah, but you know the Corner Hotel, like most pubs, does have the dude sitting in the corner strumming guitar and warbling away to himself kind of stuff, and that's kind of where we are with Diddery. He's singing melancholy songs about himself, which is fine, you know, makes him happy.
At least I could see where it was going. I basically came to the conclusion that
you didn't want to ride shotgun with him on the trip.
No, it's just
to wherever
it's just
it was
not
going.
Mine. Not my people. Is this the Balls podcast Year of the Witch? This is the third album where we've had Witch somewhere in the.
I you know what? I did not even pick that up. So this is going back to Which Witch, which was the All Them Witches versus LA Witch Week, and the answer was neither of them. In fact, I think this album is better than both of the other two Witch albums. So this is very... Frankie and the Witch Fingers was very... I think I said last week, it feels like, you know, 60s psychedelia reimagined by 90s. And you do have that kind of... it reminds me a little bit of, say... bits of the Stone Roses, the better bits of the Stone Roses, or someone like Cooler Shaker, where they're doing that kind of psychedelia throwback stuff, but it's got a very kind of 90s Britpop feel to it. And it doesn't pretend to be anything better or cleverer than that. And it just bangs on the same sort of grooves over and over again. But that kind of works because it's an entirely pleasant album to groove out to for 45 minutes.
So I listened to this a couple of times this week. I really, really like... I like the way that they do the fast slow. You know, like slow it down and then just drop drop the hammer for a little bit and then slow it down.
Yeah. And they're very good at laying down an idea and then going off. And then
it's a little bit like that classical stand-up comedy, you know, idea of...
Yeah,
dropping an idea and...
There's lots of callbacks.
Yeah, dropping an idea and seemingly just going off into the weeds and then all of a sudden you're back to the original idea again. I thought the middle sort of from Michael Dose to, I think, Simulator, I think it was. It just dragged a little bit for me in the middle.
Well, all that sort of stuff, it isn't really where they've decided where the songs are different is not actually where the music itself is different. Like, Michael Dose is actually just an instrumental bit that leads in the bridges between two other songs. And then you've got, some of the other stuff is literally just little bridging parts, and then they'll return to it and they'll come back from it. I mean, it's kind of pointless looking at any of the tracks in the album because it is just a 45-minute piece of music, and it kind of just runs together. But Can You Hear Me Now is like a riff they bring in, and they go off into Simulator, and they loop back to Can You Hear Me Now, and then they come back to it later on in Cavehead. And it's kind of, you kind of have to... It's kind of the point of the podcast, I suppose, is to find albums that work as albums rather than as collection of tracks. But this is literally, it doesn't work as a collection of tracks. It only works as an album.
Yeah, and I found there was one day that I had the shuffle on and put this on and, just automatically started shuffling. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? This seems discordant. I think it's Reaper or Sweet Freak was the one of the songs I was just like, oh, when they're hitting their straps and really bringing it, that it's just hugely enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a very it's an incredibly pleasant experience. Much of this album, it's a good fun album. It's got not particularly a large amount of substance to it, but this week that was about all it needed to get across.
Yeah, that's right.
You only needed a touchdown and a couple of field goals to
this is not a high scoring week, that's for sure.
No, but Frankie and the Dig Fingers have certainly managed to get away with the chocolates on this particular occasion.
But I was very happy to have this here in the week to go back to, because like there's a couple of times I tried to go back to Elderbrook and I was like, whoa.
Nah, this isn't any fun at all. No, it just wasn't. It just wasn't any fun. That's the biggest problem.
And there was just nothing to glom onto. There was just nothing. There was nothing that I wanted to go back to. There was no like one shining light track where I was like, oh, this is really pleasant. I wouldn't mind sticking this on a playlist.
No, it was just too, too insipid. It didn't actually have anything to it that made you actually react to it. Positively or negatively, it just sort of existed.
Yeah,
which makes some people happy, I guess, because otherwise he wouldn't be selling albums.
Look, I went through trying to pick a new album this week, and there was a lot of sad singer-songwriters, and then
I wonder whether you've cooked your own algorithm because you keep playing albums like Elderbrook. And that gives you more and more shit like Elderbrook.
Well, on the other end of the spectrum, it was like really obscene thrash metal. a couple of in the, let's say King Parrot is a 10 and it sort of went down to about a 6, but in that range. So
I need to apologize to the listeners for last week because I was listening back when I was doing the production on last week's Tripping Balls episode. I have no idea what I was saying. I listened back. I slowed it down. I tried to isolate syllables to try and figure out what the fuck I said when I signed off in the King Parrot voice. Well, I think the last part was probably you cunts. That's just a guess based on context clues. I don't really understand what I was saying.
What did the Andy?
I can only apologize.
What did the Andy Clipper algorithm make of that?
I was very, very drunk. Nothing good. Nothing good.
He just looked at it and went, oh, I give up.
I probably got suspended from Twitter just on the basis of that.
So this week I've gone, look, I just don't want to hit one of those normal I don't want to hit one.
You don't want another week
like
this one.
Look, let's go with something that's completely different. So this is a guy called West Side Gun. He does sort of old school 90s hip-hop beats. So, like Wu-Tang sort of stuff, I guess, is supposed to be the what he's going for. Just got a couple of interesting guests on it. The song that came up for me that I listened to, I really like the beats. The beats are a bit like, remember that classic album we did, recommended by Lenny? I was trying to think who that was. Where he's sort of like, you know, this is golden era, early sort of underground New York hip hop that you should probably listen to.
Gangsta.
Might have been Gangsta, yeah.
Or fucking Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep, that's who it was, yeah. Reminded me a bit of that.
I always found their beats a bit too sparse. You know, they're a bit kind of – it becomes difficult to distinguish between the tracks on the basis of the beats. I mean, obviously, they've got them raps, which tell the story, but yeah.
So anyway, this is packed full of guests, Black Thought, Rashid, Slick Rick, heaps of different people guesting. The beats sound pretty interesting. I'm sure we're probably going to have some problem with the lyrics, but who knows? We might get surprised.
Is it a bit old school in that context?
Well, it seems like that's the aesthetic that he's going for. So, you know, are we going to get a lot of drugs, guns, and bitches?
I hope so, because I haven't had nearly enough drugs, guns, or bitches this week. I mean, Elderbrook, you couldn't get any further away from drugs, guns, or bitches.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless the drugs are like temazepam.
As a palate cleanser, I'm going for something a little bit not quite what I have gone for before.
Fair enough. I will go for a... what are we doing here? Let's go for Gold Mines, which is a Australian, I think it's a Melbourne band, kind of 70s throwback-ish. It's been a while since we'd had one of those that was any good, so we'll go for that. They look like they might be decent, so we'll see how they turn out. Female-fronted.
Signals? Is that the album?
Yeah, it's sort of a black and white with red text album cover.
70s punk rock.
So we'll go with that. Yeah. Kind of. And to be honest, I picked that based on the idea of what you had and what I picked last week so that I don't have the same kind of stuff over and over again.
Look, but born not with a silver spoon in their mouth now. Are we going to go into, like, research and find out that they went to, like, some elite private school in Melbourne?
Of course they did. They definitely went to school with the Chats.
This is like, every time I see that, that's highly suspicious. Yes. Highly suspicious.
Sure enough. Oh, is this a perfect opportunity for a Doc Reds bio, or should we just not do that sort of stuff? Who starts a bio with that anyway?
No, it was in the middle. I'll give them at least a little bit of credit.
Yeah, the artist photo was kind of they looked like an improv troupe, which is not what you're really looking for.
Did I tell you the story last week?
It's actually worse than that. Boy, not with a silver spoon in their mouth, but a hot knife in their hand. Yeah. What are they, fucking smoking crack? Gold Mines have been, quote-unquote, kicking up the dirt from floors in lounge rooms, dive bars, and iconic music across the city since 2019. So they're new as shit. So they could be loud. They could be fun. I can't figure out whether they actually have anybody who follows them, but they have the look of – if I look at them, I think German metal band, which is odd because they're from Melbourne. But they definitely have the look of a the aesthetic of a grotty German metal band. So we'll see how that turns out. And their album is only 29 minutes, so it can't be that bad.
Did I tell you my Sharp story last week, or the Sharp story?
What, Skivvies Are Back style?
Yeah. So
there's a band that are better known for the piss take on The Late Show than they are for the actual song they did.
Well, Vanessa said something about Skivvies, and I started singing the song. She just looked at me very strangely.
Back,
And so I was like, yeah, you know, Skivvy's back. And she's like, once again, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. So I then had to show her the sharp.
The original, so that she would get the fucking piss take. Yeah.
And I'm like, so this was a Melbourne band, had one good song, you know, that's My Sharona Deal. Back? I think that's what it was called.
It was a good song, actually.
It's not a bad song, and it's a very very striking visual film clip.
Yeah, I feel like they, I'm not saying they were stylistically like Rat Cat, but I feel like they gave a similar kind of vibe, and it was very, you know, bright flashing colours and strident beats and that sort of thing. Rat Cat kind of felt like they were aiming for that kind of Cure sound. Mm. But
And so then I've shown Vanessa the parody and she's completely baffled. Why are you showing me this? And I'm like, because I was singing the song. She's like, yeah, I still don't get it. I was like, I don't think that's when you
file for divorce. I mean, you already... The Late Show was genuinely how you had to be there. And the fact that the best bits of The Late Show on VHS and then laterly on DVD was something that was passed around, you know, 20-somethings of our generation, that we just kept watching the best bits of these TV series over and over again, gave them a life. I mean, what other TV show can you remember from 1992? Can you remember specific sketches from it? You can't remember, say, stuff from the Fast Forward or Full Frontal, because it didn't have a self-perpetuating life the way the Late Show stuff did.
No.
You're not remembering fucking Rob Sitz doing a dodgy blackface impression of Desmond Tutu.
Or Imran Khan.
Pretending that he's Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon. I am too old for this shit. It's not racist if I'm doing an impression of him doing an impression of it.
Anyway, I don't know how I got onto the show, but
I'm trying to figure out how you got onto the show. I have
no idea.
Other than pointing out that your wife doesn't understand you, which is
understandable. I mean,
basically, you're doing a Rodney Dangerfield stand-up routine from 1982.
So what's your Joker?
So I get the Joker album, do I? Do you think I'd had a better week?
Yeah. I didn't even bother looking, so.
Well, because I did nothing to earn it, I'm going to piss it away on a completely random pick. I'm going to go for the Bill and Ted 3 soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the sort of thing that we would never pick on this podcast as a new album because it doesn't fit the profile of anything we would actually pick. So I'm going to pick that. Because it has a lineup of bands that look really impressive, like Fiddler and Mastodon and other things. But I suspect it's going to all come off as cheesy fucking shite. And this is in the context of a movie that I will almost definitely not see because I stopped going to watch movies in about 2007 and have never gone since.
Yeah, that doesn't actually look too bad, does it? There's a Weezer
song on
there.
It doesn't look too bad, but I can't wait to see how it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah. I'm contractually obliged to mention that Fat Freddy's Drop have a live album out this week.
That's nice, dear.
I can't pick it, though, because there's like one new song on it. So
you could have picked it as a Joker, if only.
If you picked it in the Joker, both of us have heard those songs a million fucking times.
Yeah, both of us have been to cafes before.
They're good renditions. They streamed. There was quite a few interesting things happening in lockdown, and one of the ones was, timed live streams of concerts. So you know you had to watch it live, and then it disappeared.
So that it drove people to actually be part of the moment rather than watching it on what's his name?
Yeah, and I guess
words.
They wanted
I'm
to.
I'm good at words.
I guess they wanted to do this, which was release it as an album on, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and all those sort of places later on. But watching it live was just like really cool. And I, you know, sent a few people a link, and then I didn't realize that you had to watch it live. I just thought it was, you know, going to be up on YouTube forever. And they're like, no, this link doesn't work, dude. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Went back. Yep. Nope. It's gone. So, yeah.
I have a small technical question for you.
Mm.
Which of West Side Gunn's three albums of 2020 is the one you actually want to put in the playlist?
Oh, really?
Pray for Paris, Fly God is an Awesome God too, and Who Made the Sunshine? Who Made the Sunshine is the one that has Black Thought and so on, and Slick Rick and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think that's the one I saw. I'm just having a look now. Yeah, Who Made the Sunshine was the one I was looking at.
Definitely,
it's got three albums from this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely not putting on the one that is that has the explicit stuff removed because I'm not 12. And to be fair, 12-year-olds swear more than me. Yeah, all right, that's all good. The point of clarification was all good. I understand where I am and who I am, what I'm doing.
Wow, that's it. Looks like a
He does look like he's a member of TISM, though. He's wearing a balaclava with a Dolce & Gabbana fucking logo on the top. TISM have reactivated and are releasing some sort of best of.
They're releasing some sort of... You make it sound like they're fucking sleeper agents, you know, deep in the Australian suburbia come to bring us all down.
They kind of are. I mean, but TISM being TISM, they've pressed all of their liner notes and all of their, you know, their cover art into vinyl, but they haven't pressed any of the music into it. So you've got a silent vinyl that contains the data of all the liner notes. Because why not? I guess they're also releasing
But didn't that sell out in 10 minutes or something?
Of course they did, because it's TISM. And I reckon you probably find that if you flip it and turn it backwards, it'll play something, you know, it'll actually play something useful. They're also releasing their final, their farewell set, which was for a festival set they did in 2004, I think, which would be lovely.
Mm. All right. If TISM got anything that we can put on the boys' playlist?
What nationality is Les Murray? Is a completely... pleasant, unobnoxious song about the beauty of multicultural Australia. And also why Ayn Rand's a dickhead. And Karl Marx is better. Because Karl Marx played on the left and Ayn Rand played on the right. There's a much bigger problem that stops me sleeping at night.
From Machiavelli and the Four Seasons.
Machiavelli and the Four Seasons, indeed. You could... I'm trying to think of the other big songs off that album. Oh, but the track that killed River Phoenix? Probably not.
Yeah. Lose Your Delusion too.
Yeah.
Oh, great. What about Greg the Sopstone? How much swearing does that have?
It's a song about teenagers getting killed in car accidents.
Yeah.
It's not really that cheerful. Thunderbirds are coming out. That's a bit of a banger. And that's just about, you know, social pressure in a peer group situation. You can tell they were teachers because so many of their songs were written about the teenage experience.
I might be a cunt, but I'm not a fucking cunt.
Yeah. No? I would have put it in there, but because it might at least get my kids to be a little bit more clean with the toilet. At least I clean the drops up when I piss on the toilet seat. I might be a cunt, but I'm not a fucking cunt.
Oh dear. They really are just a unique Australian band, aren't they?
They are.
I was trying to think. The only ones that I can think that are anywhere, what was the Japanese? Was it Tokyo Shock Boys were like a comedy outfit?
Yeah, but they were more of a stand-up routine. I mean, I kind of twin them in my head with, I suppose, Friends or Rom didn't do the same kind of social commentary, but they did the same kind of dumb, shitty jokes.
Yeah.
And taking the absolute piss. I mean, they did write songs about, you know, the Prime Minister's a racist cunt and all that sort of stuff, but...
Seriously, some of their track names, Lily Caught Dilly Bob Millie Vanilli.
Like, oh, yeah.
You don't even need to listen to that song to enjoy it.
That was off Great Truckin' Songs of the Renaissance, I think. Their 1990 or 91 album.
All homeboys are together. I can feel myself going into a bit of a TISM hole after this podcast.
I think when we did them as a classic album on the pod, it was all off YouTube because they weren't on Spotify at the time.
Spotify then. Yeah.
But Machiavelli and the Four Seasons was very formative. I mean, I would have been 15, 16 when that came out, and that was a really important album in my development.
If You Love Fred Durst.
Yes. It's off, is it 2001?
De Rigor Mortis.
Yeah, De Rigor Mortis.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. De Rigor Mortis. Some good song names.
Thou Shalt Not Britney Spears was one of the tracks on that album.
Oh, what about What Are Ya? How much swearing does that have in it? That might be a good one too.
Which one?
What Are Ya?
Yob or Wanker. No, I think that the context.
The context is just enough. Yes.
You're a yob or you're a wanker. Take your fucking choice. Might be a slightly ripe opening line.
That's true.
Who was your favourite genius? James Hurd or James Joyce?
Isn't that yob? Or is that What Are Ya?
No, that's what are ya. Because yob is it's just a song about being a yob. If it's different, punch, lager, lunch, moves, root, quacks, shoot, mates, protect, wife, neglect. God, it's amazing how these songs have worked with this album. Came out 22 years ago, so it's all embedded in my head.
I really need to have a day where the boys aren't home and just
tism it up a bit.
Yeah, tism it up a bit because, man, there's a lot of songs in these that I just absolutely love.
I loved Machiavelli and www.tism.wanker.com obviously my favourites. But there's some in the albums that were kind of before I got to them, and the albums kind of later in the career were still pretty good.
Yep. All right, Doc.
That might
lovely be to talk to you.
Indeed.
I will catch you on the side of the flip.
Yes. Flip Saunders? Are we going to die?
Yes. That's our true. Traditional upbeat ending. Yes. There you go, people. See ya. Fuck, they have some
that was awesome. My attempt to do the ending of What Nationality Is Les Murray? Because the answer is he's a fucking Hungarian.
The Tism Boat Hire Offer. Dazed and Confucius.
I thought and thirst needs a big cold beer, but I just drink to get pissed.
Can you imagine them just sitting around drinking VB and fucking coming up with this shit? You get those classic, I can't remember what the podcast I was listening to, but someone said, you know, you've got a time machine, no matter what you do, you're not gonna influence anything, so it doesn't matter. You can't change anything. You're not gonna do anything, but you can go forward or back wherever you want. Like, I actually think it would be really cool.
That's Will Anderson's conceit on philosophy, isn't it?
Yes, that's where it was too. Like, wouldn't it be fun?
How many philosophies do you listen to? It out of like, I might maybe listen to one in every 5 to 10. Because I'm like, Tom Sanderson, no, I'm not interested. Fuck off.
Yes.
Some cunt from your TV show. No, I'm not interested. Fuck off.
Well, actually, the chick from The Chaser was pretty good. Because I don't know if you listen to that giant dwarf.
From The Chaser.
That giant dwarf podcast, the Story Club, which is just it's also a bit hit and miss. But man, when it
who hits, who is the chick from The Chaser?
Zoe double barreled surname.
Kim's Ma. She's got a career bigger than the Chaser. She's much bigger than the Chaser.
Zoe. What's the name of that fucking?
I don't know, but in hindsight, the Chaser were just a shit Sydney degeneration. And the degeneration are bad enough. I mean, fucking, I saw they were promoing that. Have you been paying attention? Which is just Tom Gleisner and Sam Pagan. For some reason, I fucking hate Ed Cavalier. I just can't fucking handle him. He just shits me to tears. He's just a fucking bell. And, you know, people always said, you know, you should listen to Get This because, you know, Tony Martin, and Tony Martin's quite good at it, but Ed Cavalier's just got the most punchable fucking head in the history of the universe.
Zoe Norton Lodge.
Isn't Norton Lodge on in Leichhardt somewhere? I thought it was a pub in Leichhardt.
So she was on the Checkout and I think she was on Hungry Beast as well, maybe, with Kirsten Drysdale. Anyway, she's got a new comedy show on the ABC, but they talked about that for a bit, but not too much. I reckon if you could go and sit in the room with Tism recording one of these albums and just tossing ideas around, I think that would be pretty fun.
I reckon they'd be massive boring nerds to hang out with. I'll be very, given that a lot of them were fucking, you know, high school English teachers and so forth.
You reckon that the concept wouldn't be as much fun?
But I reckon they would have been like monumental introverts.
Yeah,
okay. And it was only through the four. I mean, why else would you need to wear massive masks and all the rest of that stuff to actually kick shit?
Mm.
You know, that was. I feel like this. They only acted out through the forum of being these ridiculous, outlandish cartoon characters because they're secretly boring as shit.
Possibly. All right, I'm going to go and see my wife and.
And explain to her, punish her more with fucking great Australian sketch comedy routines of 1992.
I'm just going to go and play Tism at her for an hour. She'll like that, won't she?
Show her the best of Shit Scared. Rob Sitch and Mick Malloy.
I do have a spare room. I guess I could get used to sleeping in it.
It's a shipping container, isn't it? It's not really a spare room. If you had a spare room, you'd record in it.
I am recording in the spare room. All right, Doc, I gotta go. See ya.
Cheers, man.
Well, can you blame it? Blame it. Blame it. Blame it.
Elian Modro Rosa.